I am so glad you're here today because so many people want to grow and scale their businesses, but so many businesses fail to think about to what end. To what end are you growing your business? Are you trying to exit at some point? Are you trying to hold on to this to pass it on to your kids? Are you trying to just serve a good cause and let the business die when you lose interest? All of these are potential exits. And our guest today is an expert at not only helping companies plan their exit, but also do it in a technical, documented way so that when it comes time for a merger or acquisition or just the sale of your company, they have the solution that uses AI incorporated with all the data that you input to help you determine value, to help you determine what changes might affect your exit, and all the other things that every startup founder thinks about. None of us really know until you exit what that process even looks like. So this product and this man who literally has been a rocket scientist has jumped into the world of M&A and created a product that you're gonna love. So for those of you that say running a business or exiting a business is like rocket science, well, this man's here to tell you whether it is or isn't. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Be ready to learn a lot more about your potential exit and how it's gonna affect the decisions that you make in your business today. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Growth and Scaling Podcast. This is your host, Todd Westra, and I am so glad you're here today because we are going to interview an amazing founder or executive who is going to share with us their decisions that they made that exploded their growth. So if you need some inspiration, you want to hear how other businesses are doing it, this is the place to be, and we are glad you're here. Enjoy this episode. We are so happy to have with us today Zahir Ali, who is all the way from the Bay Area, Walnut Creek area. And give us a little intro. Zahir, who are you and what do you do?
I think of myself as a rehabilitated experimental physicist. That's actually what I did my training way back when. I won't say exactly when, but you know, you can guess a little bit from the gray in my beard, right? over the years, worked in weapons and Homeland Security, then did what every geek wants to do in his life, which is to go work for NASA. Faced NASA, Air Force, Space Force eventually, etc., for a decade, more than a decade actually. And have also been involved in entrepreneurship, advised a lot of companies, startups, helped them figure out the best way to grow, particularly on the strategy side. Today, I am COO of Positon. Much to some of my friends and colleagues' surprise, I left an executive position at a Fortune 500 company to join a friend and fellow Thunderbird alumnus at Positon to co-found a company that is solving a lot of pain points that he, in particular, Ravi Azhari, our COO and my co-founder, has experienced. We work in the optimization and programmatization of M&A. It's a $2 trillion plus industry with a 70 to 90% failure rate. And that's not something we came up with ourselves. That's research published by Harper. 70 to 90% failure rate on a $2 trillion plus industry. And really what the...
That
it,
sucks.
It's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. And the reason, there are a lot of reasons, and we're addressing most of them. But what's called programmatic M&A is the future, but companies can't move with the speed that they need and often have to use too many resources to be strategic and programmatic about their mergers and acquisitions.
Right.
Tools are stuck like way back in the year 2000, charging by data storage tier or number of pages. There's no AI. It's slow and inefficient. And as Robbie would tell the story, a very large billion-dollar trend acquisition that he helped lead. At the end of it, these companies wanted to send them a DVD, and they were able to get a USB stick instead, which is absolutely remarkable, right? In this day and age, that's like 2018. So
holy cow.
Yeah, it's just nuts. So Positon solves most of that with our first product, PosiVault, which is the first truly intelligent data room. Powered by AI, it's workflow enabled, and it provides success through speed, efficiency, and transparency, while at the same time providing clear governance and structure to enable programmatic M&A. Really what we are and what we've built is the Salesforce-type platform for mergers and acquisitions. And it's going to disrupt the space completely.
So back up one second. Let's talk about the problem a little bit more, because that was something that you rushed right through.
Yeah.
And you've kind of paused for a second, but this problem is massive. I mean, when you say 70 to 90% failure rate, are you talking about once a business is acquired, there's a failure because the founders are gone and the business kind of dumps? Or what are you talking about?
It's multi-stage, right? I think back to Tolstoy. In the first line, I think of Anna Karenina, when he says, all happy families are created alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. And what that means is that when things go right, pretty much we know the checklist. All of those things have gone right. But when things go wrong, it could be one of a million things, right? It's almost unique. And M&A is very much like that. But what that statistic refers to is research done to say, did these attempts to buy a company and acquire a company and integrate it fulfill the investment thesis? 70-90% of the time, it doesn't. Right. Now, you can buy a company, you can throw money at it, whatever, and make that happen. You can slam it through.
Right.
But from the time you said, should we do this? This is our thesis. To now, 2 years forward, have we met our revenue plans? 70-90% fail. And there's so many places. A lot of it could be in due diligence. Hey, maybe we shouldn't buy this, actually, now that we're in due diligence. Seemed like a good idea on the surface. Right. Now that we're down farther, you know, below the waterline along the iceberg, yeah, there's a little bit of interesting things here. And part of the problem is that the way it's done, the diligence, is stuck in it's actually stuck in the 90s, really. You've got Excel spreadsheets, massive, hundreds of questions, people sending each other emails, and then somebody's supposed to enter, it's done, here's the attachment. It's ripe for disruption in the right way.
I agree. And in fact, I'm really excited to talk to you offline about this, because there's a lot of overlap here in what we do with our company. So I'm actually dying to have the conversation afterwards. But this is a great problem that you're solving. I mean, I feel like in most people's questions about what it takes to scale, usually there is a purpose. Usually there's an end game. Usually there's an exit. There's something that they're building this business to do. And I think the companies that fail to understand what that is, they fail to get there. And what you're doing is you're automating a path, or you're using AI to kind of control and answer a lot of questions that companies have in preparing themselves to be acquired or to merge or even to acquire.
So really,
tell us about that.
You can think of it as the ideal way to manage any multi-party information exchange, because that's really what this is, right? One party is interested in another party. There's a lot of information that they need to share. They need to share it in the right way, because certain people can't have access to certain things, right? You've got personnel information. Everybody can't have access to that. Different things related to revenue, cost. Not everybody should see everything. So you have to have it governed in the right way. You can't just do this with, you know, basic folder permissions and stuff. It's too clunky. It's overbearing. It needs to be automated. It needs to be clean. At the same time, right, what you have to have is something that enables not only the buyer, but also the seller, as you pointed out. When we have different companies have different abilities to access and use the tool, we're inviting companies that are interested in it. Maybe you don't need to be acquired now, want to sell now. Maybe you want to do that in 4 years. That's on your roadmap.
Get your information
organized now.
Right.
Get on the right platform now. And then when this happens,
love it.
It's a click of two buttons and everything's ready to go. And it's transparent, it's clear. And the people that you're interacting with on the acquisition side, you know, it's going to make it so that all of this goes fast. All of this is done in the right way. You know, we have AI looking for everything from where are your risks to making sure that when five people ask the same question, that collapses into one action item and doesn't stay as five requests. It sounds trivial, for, you know, once you realize it. But if you think about the redundancy in these processes, at least 20 to 30% is completely redundant with stuff that's already happened.
All right, Zahir. So you have 10 years experience with NASA. You're a little bit familiar with rocket science. I have a feeling a lot of people do feel like M&A is rocket science. Is it different? Which one's harder?
Well, you know, I tell you what. At least there's an equation for rocket science. You have the rocket equation. You can sit down, you can write this down, you know?
Right.
And in many ways, that's what's been missing from M&A. I think one of the most used features of our platform is going to be, over time, the simple ability to templatize. So if you're a big company and you're going to do so many acquisitions, you know, you want to pick up tech, you want to pick up talent, you want to pick up a key market, whatever it happens to be, right? You're across a variety of verticals. You're going to have, say, 60 to 80% of core questions. You know, we want to see, you know, revenue, sales, HR this, compliance that, the stuff that's just normal. Then you're going to have kind of another 20% on top of that, you know, it's 70. So 20% on top of that, you know, up to 90%. Yeah, but that 20% is going to be segment specific. Oh, this is a healthcare company and that's a pharmaceutical company. Or this is a semiconductor company and that's a software company. So there's that kind of specification. Then there's going to be that 10% of unique stuff, of course, right? But what we can do is we can take that first 90% and templatize it for you. So you enter that once, and then the next time you acquire a company of that type in that segment, instant. Snap of fingers, boom, everything goes, you know?
All right, so Zahir, let's take a step back. Now, that's the problem you solve. Tell us about you guys. I mean, in the growth of this business that you're now building to do this, are you using what you sell to kind of help you determine your exit strategy in your business?
Absolutely. We're going to be the first people. We're the first people on our own platform, right? You got to do it. You got to say, hey, look, I'm here. This is how you interact with this platform. We are the test case, right? But one of the things, having advised other companies that have grown in the space economy, no less. So yes, you know, a rocket company.
Awesome.
One of the things that I've learned that is super important for people to keep in mind, I feel, is that you have to embrace process. And every startup founder is like, of my hair loss is related to tearing it out due to process issues over the years.
Right.
But the thing is, you have to embrace and love process to be able to scale. Because that's the scaffolding. Those are the steel beams you're building of the skyscraper. And you know, we talk a lot in development, particularly software development, about technical debt, etc. And one of the things I've learned is that you have to take the same approach of writing down your technical debt and risk to your business process technical debt and risk. And you know, go get your compliance early when it's easy, when you have 10 employees, because when you have 100, guess what? It's going to be a lot more work. It's going to take a lot longer. Whereas you have to do is manage it by a process, you already have done that certification, that compliance, whatever it happens to be, much easier. So if you can take care of that, that really enables. And in businesses that if you're entering that are high compliance, high risk, highly regulated, I can't say enough about that. You know, because if you're out there, you know, starting a lemonade stand, you know, it's okay, right? But if you're actually in the food business with all the compliance that they have,
it's got to taste the same every time. You got to follow the rules every time.
You got to be there from the beginning.
So how do you, and how do you, in your business, like, what, along this journey, what's been the funnest part? Like, what's been the funnest part about growing and scaling this business?
I think, and not everybody loves it, right? But this, I think, is what the entrepreneur desires, is the feeling that I have lit the candle underneath me on this rocket, and I'm still bolting the fins on the side to keep it going straight up, right? You have to embrace that. All the wisdom in the world is in rock songs. How's the line go? Hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control, right? And then that's kind of how it has to be. It's fun to accept the velocity.
All the wisdom
velocity
in the world is in rock
songs.
I'm
convinced,
huh?
Man. I'm convinced between Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan,
and Neil Peart.
There you go, and Neil Peart. What more do you
need? Neil Peart, man, you don't need any more than that.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Anyway.
That's
awesome.
So you have to, I love that feeling of we're going literally faster than we probably should and accepting that.
Yeah.
Right? I think it was Michael Andretti who said, if you don't feel like you're going too fast, you're not going fast enough. And that's really that is what it takes. At the same time, you have to figure out your infrastructure and your operations. That's the challenge. That's the
processes.
Challenge. The process. Yeah, right? That's the challenge, is to move that fast, yet find a way to keep those processes straight. But that will define how well and how quickly you can grow.
And is that what you would say has been your biggest challenge? Is it the processes? Is it the what do I need to bolt on next while we're taking off? Well, what do you feel like has been the biggest challenge you guys have hit?
I think what happens is always everything seems like the number one priority. And if everything's the number one priority, nothing's the number one priority. So it can be very challenging. And especially, you got a team. And you need a team, any solo entrepreneur, right? I think, I forget, solo entrepreneurs fail. There's another business study, something like 70 to 80% of the time that gets sliced in half when you add a co-founder, that gets cut by another third when you add a third leg to the tripod, right? Those rules of hand exist for a reason. And so that adds challenge to prioritization because people have different views, but you have to love that process of smashing it out and being around the table and just saying, look, we have to choose. And choosing's hard, much harder than I think people typically realize. But once you do, it's super nice.
Choosing's hard. Choosing is hard, and handing things off is hard too for a lot of people because they haven't defined the process yet. It all comes back to that process thing. And also trusting the person that you hire to do it. Do you trust them?
Do you have a good hiring
process? Do
they
know what they're
doing? To hire that person.
Yeah.
Right? That was one of the things I learned in a previous role where, when I arrived in this lab and this operations center, we didn't even have walls. We had chain link fence inside of a hangar to define different areas. And bare floor, concrete floor. We built our infrastructure, literal physical infrastructure, at the same time as building our process infrastructure and the operation, etc. And suddenly, working
Holy
with
crap.
100 people in an organization, and it's like, and I realized, like, and that's when I realized the power of my former managers and mentors, who with an organization of 500,000 people, whatever, would after. At 4:30, they'd be down there walking the floor, checking things out, taking a coffee break with, the new hire or whatever. And really understanding that because, there is a lack of perspective sometimes, but at the same time, like you said, you have to be able to delegate, you have to choose. And if you haven't set up processes that you're confident in, it's really, really hard to let go.
Totally. Now, what advice do you give to people that are dealing with that challenge?
If you are having trouble letting go, you really need to examine why. Is it pure personality? And that can be part of it. And then you got to kind of work on yourself. Yeah. But most likely it's also a nagging lack of confidence in some part of your organizational structure, whether it's your processes or your team. And then you have to just, again, you have to be courageous enough to acknowledge that and say, I'm going to figure that out. I'm going to fix that. And maybe it can make me making a really, really hard choice. Like, I love somebody, but I can't hand this off to them, even though I love them. So I have to give them another role in which they'll be successful and get the right person that I can hand this thing off to.
I love it. Yeah, you know, a lot of people when they launch, they have an amazing team of generalists. They can wear a lot of hats. They're kind of good at a lot of things. But as you get into that growth and scaling phase, you really need to have those specialists who do understand that one thing way better than you. And they can have to demonstrate that to some extent, but there's nothing that feels better as a founder to hand things off to people that are better than you at something. And you're like, hey,
yeah,
I did my best to figure this out. You take it, go with it, go run, and let me see what you do with it.
Yeah. You know, I think of it this way.
So,
and this is a little bit of a sports analogy, so hopefully everybody gets it, is that, you know, startups are often like a baseball team. And on a baseball team, most players can actually play 3 to 4, 5 positions. They've played that coming up.
Right.
They were tried out at different places, and
sure,
that makes sense. But if you go to the NFL, you can't just take a wide receiver and put him on the offensive line. It's just not going to work. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
It's hyper-specialized, actually.
Right.
You know, you've got guys who come in
for
a specific type of play, right? And I'm not talking about just place kickers, which are the oldest specialization, but even like running backs who, you know, I'm a Niners fan. I grew up watching Tom Rathman murder linebackers, and his job was on the goal line to smash through. That's what he did. You know, so
that's all they
do. But you know, you look at the team sizes, and so many other things, right? That's how I think about one of the analogies I use about how you have to shift your thinking and shift the way you build your team as you scale.
Right. I love it. Well, tell us, you know, I love giving shout outs. I feel like it's a really important thing for founders to acknowledge people that they look at that inspire them, that usually there's someone in your network. I've got 3 or 4 people right now that have really inspired the changes I've made in my business recently. And I would love to hear who has kind of given you the motivation to solve this problem or to be part of this business or really kind of helped you overcome some challenges.
You know, the first name that comes to mind is George Szabo, CEO of TechZero, which is a digital transformation company. They do a variety of projects from advanced intelligence security to more big data type projects. He's been a business partner of mine, but he was a mentor. He was years ago, he was a VP at Universal Incorporated. He was in the room when they made the decision to sue Napster. I'll let you ask him about that someday. It's a heck of a story. He was there.
That was a heartbreaking day.
Yeah, and what's funny, I mean, he really needs to tell it, but what's funny is that like all of us tech geeks took it personally, right? You know, we're like, you're coming after us. The man's after us, right? You know,
I want my music.
Right, you know, and it was really just a decision by an organization that didn't know what to do. So they did a very typical, slow your opponent down move. Everybody thought
that's
it was malicious, but it's not. So I'll let you ask George about that. But
I can't wait to do that.
But you know, since then he's written a couple books. He became a small business owner because he wanted to focus on family. And you know, he really was one of my first, you know, true business mentors as I moved from being a very deep technologist, you know, like I said, recovering experimental physicist. Into business and executive roles, and he really helped me figure out what the first steps and many steps along the way. We talk often, so definitely George Szabo, out of Santa Clarita, you know, Los Angeles area in California.
Cool.
Great guy.
Cool, can't wait to talk to him. Well, that's awesome. Well, listen, I appreciate you so much for being on the show today. There are so many little nuggets that you shared that are going to help people learn what it takes to scale today. And how do people follow you? Are you most active on LinkedIn or where do you hang out?
LinkedIn is where I primarily am. /ZAALI is how you can find me.
Cool.
You can even just Google me. I'm also a professor of space business leadership and policy at Thunderbird School of Global Management, where I help create the new master's program on there. And definitely please follow us on Positon. That's on LinkedIn, positon.ai. on the web. Come check us out. And, you know, we're ready to onboard people kind of yesterday. So, you know, if whether you're a small business, big business, you're ready to buy a company, you're ready to be acquired, or you just want to figure out what the heck M&A as a service means, we're ready to help.
Right. I can't wait to put those links in the show notes. So those listening, check them out and go see what this is all about. This is amazing. Zahir, thank you so much for being a part of the show today, and we look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Truly appreciate you, Todd, and thanks to everyone listening. Take care, folks.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode. This has been a fascinating journey for me to not only enjoy the conversation about rockets and revenue rockets and building and scaling your business, but also the aspect of the exit. I think the more a company can talk about, think about, and strategize for their exit, the better that experience is going to be for them. Because it's not always an awesome thing for every business. So for you, what is it going to take for you to understand your exit? How do you learn the lessons from this man who has experienced multiple exits in a positive way to build and grow your company to where you are going to feel comfortable exiting and feeling really, really good about it? Things to think about. I hope you study in the show notes, and I hope you check out this platform that they've built. They are ready to build an enterprise of companies looking to exit. And for those looking to buy, it's even better. You get all the data in one spot without having to do a bunch of research and development. So let's check it out. And I hope you the best in your journey learning what it takes to scale your business.